This Advent season, we are looking at our fathers of the Bible, Abraham last week, Isaiah this week, David will be next week. And we've done this in a very creative way by taking on that character and speaking in the first person. If you're here last week or saw it online, maybe you remember that. So we do the same this week with Isaiah. Shalom Aleichem. That's Hebrew for peace be with you. And that is my Advent greeting for you this evening. My name is Isaiah. And I was born about 760 years before Christ. I was one of the Old Testament prophets, the one who wrote the book that bears my name. Actually, although I wrote the book of Isaiah, it really isn't my book, for the Lord God told me what to write. Now, Isaiah is a Hebrew name, and it means Yahweh, the Lord saves. It is the same meaning and almost the same name as that of Jesus. But in my name, the two Hebrew words are in reverse order. Saves Yahweh. My father's name was Amos with a Z, not to be confused with the Old Testament prophet Amos with an S. Now, although you know very little about my father, he was an important man, and we were part of a royal family. I had cousins and other relatives who were rulers and powerful people. I, however, was destined by God to be a prophet. Prophet is one who proclaims God's word, and I was to bring God's message to his people. Now, your pastors and your teachers today, they are prophets. Their job, as was mine, is to prophesy. Now, I know that some think the word prophecy means to foretell or predict what is going to happen. And I can understand that. For much of what the prophets told the people long ago concerned what was going to happen when Christ came and when Christ comes again. And that's probably why the word prophecy came to mean to tell what is going to happen in the future. I know I can't change your language, but I hope that whenever you hear the word prophet, you'll think of a person who must, as you put it, tell it like it is. That was my job, to pass on the vision the Lord gave me, to tell it like it is. And because part of my vision wasn't very pleasant, people didn't like to hear it. They blamed me because it wasn't what they wanted to hear. Now, I began to prophesy in 742 BC, the year in which King Uzziah died. At that time, God showed me a vision of his glory in the temple as the angel sang, "Holy, holy, holy." I wrote about that vision in the sixth chapter of my book. My immediate reaction was, "Woe to me, I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty." I was upset because my vision of God's holiness made me realize how sinful I truly, truly was. Now, in this day and age, people seem to not take sin very seriously. Instead, they say things like, everybody does it, or I'll try to do my best. And then dismiss the things that we think and say and do, which are serious affront to God's threefold holiness. Most people in my day, almost 3,000 years ago, didn't take sin seriously either. And that's why the Holy Spirit guided me to write what I did in the first chapter of my book. I told them that God was sick of their sacrifices and didn't want them to go through this ritual of public worship while at the same time living these lives in wickedness. I presented God's ultimatum to repent, to be truly sorry for their sins, and to sincerely ask God to forgive them. And I bluntly told them that God would not accept their worship unless they repented. Now that's still true today. And that's why the season of Advent is so important. To get ready for Christmas and to get ready for Jesus' second coming at the close of time, we must begin by being truly sorry for our sins and asking God to forgive us. Jesus was born, He lived, He died, and He rose again to pay for our sins. And in that, we find comfort. God sent me to tell His people that message of salvation and judgment, and that's what I've come to tell you this evening. Now, in the seventh chapter of my book, I predicted details of Jesus' birth. And St. Matthew quotes me when he writes about the Messiah's advent. He says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Emmanuel, as Matthew rightly points out, is Hebrew for God with us. Yes, God truly came to be with all of humanity when He entered into this world on that first Christmas. God took on human flesh and blood. That's why I wrote in the ninth chapter of my book the words which have appeared in so many Christmas hymns. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That message meant a great deal to the faithful people of God in my day, even as I know it means a great deal to you today. That's what made my work as a prophet meaningful and worthwhile. I won't say it's true, and I won't say it's false, but tradition says I suffered a gruesome death as a martyr, that I was sawed in two. It is true that many people in my day turned a deaf ear to my message, and that they persecuted me, even as many in your day don't want to hear God's message. But there are many who listened with joy, listened and anticipated and heard the message that I proclaimed. And I hope that you are listening to God's word preached by your pastors and taught by your teachers to the salvation of your souls. Now, God often forced me to speak harsh words of condemnation. He balanced them with beautiful promises of consolation. Now, in the 40th chapter of my book, I was instructed by the Holy Spirit to write comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. I spoke of the day when John the Baptizer would come and tell people that the Messiah had been born and that they would find forgiveness and life in Jesus. They should prepare the way for Jesus by facing up to the reality of their sins. And that's what we still have to do today. And that's what the Advent season is all about. We prepare the way for Jesus. We prepare the way for Him coming into our hearts by admitting that we are sinners and asking Him not only to forgive us, but also to give us power to grow in godliness, to overcome our sins and turn from our old ways, to sincerely say that we are sorry that we have sinned. And He comforts us. He comforts us by telling us that our sins are purged away, that they're completely removed. And my favorite chapter in my book, and it's the favorite of many Christians, actually, is the 53rd chapter. Now, that's the chapter where the Holy Spirit guided me to write about the Messiah in the past tense, known as the prophetic perfect in Hebrew grammar. Well, the prophetic perfect is used when you are perfectly confident that something is going to happen because God has promised so. For example, if you knew that the coming Christmas would be a happy time for you, you could say, "This Christmas was a happy time for me." Now, I know that that may sound odd to you, but we Hebrew prophets used it often to give our message added emphasis and added impact. Now, in chapter 53, I wrote, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was laid upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. The Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Now, the famous composer Handel used these words for his inspiring Messiah, and countless Christians have found comfort and peace and hope in its proclamation of the gospel. And this gospel is of the utmost importance. It's what church is all about. Because it means that we will be with our Savior in perfect peace forever. Now, I wrote about that also in my book when I said that nations would beat their swords into plowshares and that the lion and the lamb would live together in peace. In other words, there will be eternal peace in a new creation when Jesus comes again at the end of this earthly time. Now, I know you are looking forward to Christmas, and I hope you will indeed enjoy a merry one. But Advent promises that we will be far more joyful with everlasting bliss when Jesus comes again. And the secret of eternal peace is found in my name, for Isaiah means "the Lord saves." It is Christ who gives us the inner peace that surpasses all understanding. We find this peace in the Christ child, your Savior and mine. Therefore, as you look forward to Christmas and to the eternal joy following Christ's second advent, I say to you, Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Amen.